Great praise team here. Steve Copeland. Steve, could you come up here and lead us in prayer before we get started? Steve is a former CEO of West Cancer Clinic. He's currently the CEO of Life Choices Memphis, Mission Field USA. Understanding the times on Sunday, for 90 minutes on Sunday afternoon, I listen to him. I get my preaching from Steve on Sunday afternoon. Israel Today, you've had a prayer meeting going for Israel for 30-something years now on Wednesday morning. Completed Jew, Messianic Jew, and I just don't see how you do everything you do. But if you could just pray for our country, pray for where we're at right now.
Okay. Just read from Psalm 108 before I pray, just briefly. O God, my heart is fixed on you. I will sing and give praise to you, even with my glory. Awake, O lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. Father, we thank you that through the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone we have salvation. For he, when he by himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, Lord, you said in your word you can save if by many and if by few. Lord, there's a few of us here today, but you're here, so there is a vast majority. Lord, we thank you that the hosts of heaven are ready to rout the hosts of wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Father, we pray that this morning, the result of this meeting, would there be eternal deposit of materials into the city of God, gold, precious stone, pearls, and other treasures that would come forth. Thank you that Randy Shepherd is here today, and we pray that the words that he speak would go deep into our heart and change our lives. Father, we do pray for America. Lord, we pray that our nation would repent. Lord, begin in the house of God. Lord, you said that judgment begins at the house of God. Lord, we don't long for judgment. We long for mercy. But Lord, we know that unless we are on our faces, there's no hope for this nation. Oh Lord, sweep into every town, every village, every city, every suburban, every rural area, every hinterland from sea to shining sea, and send the greatest awakening in our nation's history, that we would be so astonished, like in the days of Hezekiah, when you move so suddenly. Father, we bless you this morning. Thank you for those who are here and those who are watching. Lord, touch our hearts, and we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dr. Jim Sexton, I've known for over 50 years, is a veteran, 31 years in Reserve Tennessee Air Force, and heads up the mobile dentist unit at Bellevue and everything. Yeah, he just found out last night. And he just found out last night his son represents the head coach of the Grizzlies. Can you believe that?
I just found that out.
But his son also represents about 12 out of the 16 head coaches for the SEC also. Jim, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, if y'all could stand, please. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want to welcome you to Awaken Memphis. If you're here in the garage here for the very first time, could you stand and introduce yourself? Phil, you want to introduce your wife? Great. Welcome, Mary. Glad you're here. Anybody else here for the very first time? Name and who you are?
Angel.
Okay. Okay, Angel. Angel's home burned down last week, and he lost everything that he had. So, He's here as a guest of Gary Myers. Phil, come up here. We're going to have you introduce Randy Shepherd. Known Randy almost as long as Jim Sexton here, but Phil and Randy go back quite a ways at Bellevue Days in the prison ministry. And Randy, I told Randy, I said, this isn't the time to do a ministry report. We want a message, but he can give a little ministry report about the MMA Saturday night and the prisons and that. But anyway, go ahead.
I got banished 4 years to the wilderness of Louisville, Kentucky, and I came back to Memphis and was on staff at Bellevue, and I noticed that a lot of tall guys were hanging around, and I didn't know who they were. I didn't know that Bellevue was hosting a basketball team. So I went up to one of the guys, an African-American guy, who was a couple inches taller than I am, real athletic. And I talked to him for a few minutes, and then I said, son, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And he looked at me and said, man, I'm on the Spirit Express. I mean, I've got some answers to that question that I didn't know what to do with, but that was one of the best. So I didn't know what to say, so I just said, son, I don't care what train you're riding. If you ain't hooked to Jesus, it ain't going nowhere. And he said, I guess that wasn't the right answer, was it? I said, I don't know what that was. So he told me about the Spirit Express basketball team that was occupying Bellevue's gym at Old Bellevue at that time. And every time I'd see him from then, he'd be the other side of the sanctuary. He'd say, Brother Phil, I just want you to know my train's hooked to Jesus. Through the Spirit Express, I met several of the basketball players, and Randy Shepherd was one of those guys that played with the Spirit Express. That was over 30 years ago. I've been privileged to meet some great communicators of the gospel, some great soul winners, some of the greatest soul winners in the world, and athletes who have great testimony. But I want to tell you, Randy Shepherd is a great communicator of the Word of God. Amen. He's one of the greatest soul winners that I've ever met. And he's also one of those athletes that's taken his skills and used it over the years to communicate the foolishness of basketball, to communicate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I count him a dear brother and friend, and always glad to see him. Mary is from North Carolina and was born and grew up just about 30 miles from where Randy calls home in North Carolina. And he's just a special guy. If you're going to go anywhere with him, you better plan a few extra minutes, maybe hours, because he's going to stop and talk to everybody that you run into, and he's going to sometime share the gospel with them. You'll be blessed today, as I'm always blessed. Let me just pray for him as he comes. Father, thank you for the many years of friendship I've had with this dear brother. Bless him now as he speaks, and Lord, through him, communicate just exactly what you want these folks to hear today. I pray that they will be challenged just a little bit to become a communicator, a transmitter of the Word of God as he is. I love you and I thank you for this man. Bless him as he comes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What time I need to be through, Dave? Clock's right there. What time I need to be through, buddy? Quarter till. Thank you. Awesome. I appreciate Dave and his friendship. This thing's making a noise here. Let me turn this down. It started doing it when Phil started speaking. It's a blessing and a privilege and an honor to be here. I appreciate David. I joke with him, but we're like brothers. And he and I got on the bikes the other day to ride from here to Shelby Farms. And I was kidding with Henry. I said, you better go with us because we'll be into it in a minute. He said, I trust you guys. You're like brothers. You'll work it out. So I love you, David. I've known David for 35 years. I came to Memphis with Spirit Express, as Brother Phil just mentioned. And I left Asheville, North Carolina. By the way, One of the best decisions Phil ever made, Mary Tar Heel. Bless you, sister. That's awesome. But I left Asheville, North Carolina, 88, green under the wings and scared to death, not knowing much. Thank you, Coach. Let me get back over here. So I left 1988 to come to Memphis, and my pastor there, Dr. Billy Klein, who led me the Lord and taught me to be a soul winner. Thank God for you pastors in here that are soul winners, because your congregation is only going to go as far as you go. And I've met many pastors around the world and around the United States that don't share the gospel outside this pulpit. And in my opinion, that's what some of the problem is in America today, because we sit, we soak, and we sour. And I was in that category for way too long. But I thank God for mentors. Look around the room and see Alvin and I were in the Bahamas 15 years ago. Christy Lynn and I were on Bill Street one night. She led four guys to the Lord down there one night. And looking around here, Dr. Sexton, appreciate your friendship and prayers over the years. Roselle and I were at the MMA the other night with David. Been out to Ricky's church. And many of you pray and some of you give. Thank you so much. But I came to Memphis, and my pastor said, I want you to go to a little small country church in Memphis by the name of Bellevue, and I want you to introduce yourself to Dr. Adrian Rogers. Well, I didn't know any better. I got to Memphis 88 looking for Bellevue, found it, and was blessed that Dr. Rogers kind of took me under his wing and got to go to ball games with him and go eat with him and hang out with him, and he was a soul winner. And I appreciate Steve Gaines as well. He's a soul winner as well. And you other pastors here that I know that are soul winners, God bless you and thank you so much. A little ministry report, 30 seconds, Dave. The Lord has done great things since January. We've been in 12 states. And you say, Randy, how do you minister through the silly game of basketball? Well, the Apostle Paul said to use all means necessary to win some. So if you're a plumber, plumb for Jesus. If you're an electrician, do it for Jesus. If you're a coach, do it for Jesus. You're a homemaker, do it for Jesus. If you're retired, do it for Jesus. If we're still taking breath, God has a reason for us to be here. And he's got a purpose, and I believe that he's got a divine appointment for you today, wherever you're going. So, but we've seen, Lord willing, 1,600 around there, public professions of faith since January. And people accuse, glory to God, people accuse evangelists of being into numbers. Well, I always come back with this. God wrote a whole book on numbers. And then at Pentecost, he was. They said there were 4,000 saved, and that wasn't counting the wives and children. So somebody was counting, Brother Ricky, right? So praise God for that. If it's one or if it's 1,000, numbers are important. And we don't want to boast numbers if they're inflated, but we want to tell folks what the Lord was doing. And Paul went around to churches and folks that were supporting him and praying for him, and he shared with them what the Lord was doing. So thank you for your prayers and support of Crossfire. We did get to go to the prison the other day with Brother Phil, and the Lord blessed there. There were about 20 men. About 85 came outside there on the court. The chaplain was thrilled. He's had about 40 to 45 in most of his services. So we went door to door, if you will, cell to cell, looked into some 24-hour guys that get out 1 hour a day, and looked in their cells and put gospel tracts in their cells. But all the ones that could come out came out, had about 85 on the court. And we don't give a sloppy agape. We give the word of God, and we give the true plan of salvation. About 80 of those men raised their hand that they were trusting Christ. About 20 out of the 85, and about 20 made recommits. You say, how many of them are real, Randy? Well, I pray every one of them was real. And I did all I could to make them real. And we definitely want to get them discipled. And hopefully this doesn't offend you, but I'm not going to not share the gospel with somebody because I'm not going to be around to disciple them. The word of God says, he who has begun a good work in them will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that we don't want them discipled, but I'm not going to not share with them because I'm not going to be there to disciple them. Some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. If you got your Bible, turn to Mark 1, 16 through 18. Mark 1, 16 through 18. And some of you have been to the Holy Land, and I've been blessed. I guess when you're single and don't have kids, you can travel more. And I've been blessed to go to the Holy Land 23 times. And it's a real place. I tell young people and adults, you can believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, for all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for correction, for teaching, for training unto righteousness. And you can believe the maps in the back of the Bible. The cities are in the places that they say they're in. Brother Al, that's on the prayer line, and thank you, David and Henry, for that prayer line that you do. I know I'm feeling the effects of those prayers through my ministry, and I know many ministries are and many individuals are, but Brother Al there in Jerusalem is a great friend and been able to go into schools in Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem and all through behind the Gaza Strip in Palestine. If time permits here, I'm going to share a story with you about witnessing there on Benny Huda Street in Jerusalem, and we're going to be persecuted when we share the faith, y'all, even in the Bible Belt. Even in your churches, there are going to be Christians that are going to call you fanatic. They're going to call you over the top. And they're sitting beside you on the same pew and they're convicted because they don't share the gospel. And it's not a gift that we're given. It's a calling. It's a mandate. And Dr. Rogers once said, you may not have the gift of evangelism, but every Christian is called to be an evangelist. So I'm stepping on my toes today. And hopefully we'll encourage each other. I know there are many soul winners in this room, probably the cream of the crop. And God bless you for being at Shelby Farms and going out. But Shelby Farms is not the only place to witness. We got a witness at Perkins. We got a witness at the gas station. We got a witness in our neighborhood. And hardest of all, we got a witness to our families. And God will open up those doors if we allow Him. So I want you to believe today, no matter who you are, that God wants to use you. That God wants to use you. And we're going to look at some examples, personal examples, and some examples from the Word. But if you got your Bible, we'll read there in Mark 1. And I'm gotten to that age. I fought this for a while, but I'm going to go ahead and humble myself today. Pull these reading glasses out. Mark 1, 16 through 18. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Verse 18, let's look what they did. And straightway they dropped their nets, they forsook their nets, and they followed him. Now, I'm not telling you to quit your job, but I am telling you, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he wants you to be about witnessing. I'm not against friendship evangelism. I've got many friends. But friends, if we can talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, if we can talk about the Tigers, if we can talk about our children, if we can talk about our grandchildren, if we can talk about our cars, if we can talk about our friends, why can't we talk about Jesus? And I'm asking myself the same question. We have to break the holy huddle group and go out and run the play. Any good coach at Memphis tonight, God bless somebody, gave me a ticket to the game tonight. So I'm going to be there, and I'm not just going to be there for basketball. I usually wear a scripture shirt, or I pray for divine opportunities in where I'm going. And the guy that is allowing me to go to the game tonight with him, I'm not going to throw his name out there, but he works for Justin Timberlake. And I was at Crossroads speaking here the last time I was here, and I just made a comment from the pulpit. If anybody's got a ticket to the game tonight and you want to bless me, I'll take it. Well, in the lobby, glory to God, a guy comes up afterwards. He said, I want to introduce you to a guy. He works for Justin Timberlake. He's 60 years old. Nobody knows him. He just works on his houses and so forth. He said, I'm going to call him and see if he'll let you sit in Justin Timberlake's suite. So, you know, my wheels are turning. I'm a witness to Timberlake tonight. Just kidding. He's not there. He's never around. But this guy and I went to the game, and he's a great brother, but he loves the Lord. And we started talking about the Lord, and I didn't get to see the game. We were talking about the Lord the whole time. So tonight I'm going to try to tell him, let's watch the game tonight. We'll talk afterwards. Just kidding. But there at the Sea of Galilee, if you haven't been there, but maybe you've been out here on a lake or on a pond or on a river, and we get the mental picture of Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. And you go there today, there are still men there casting the net like the old timers did. But there are some nice bass boats out there now too. And there's some nice pontoons, and they're still fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Well, the Lord is just using that illustration to help us. But let's picture Jesus walking down the Sea of Galilee. Maybe it's one of those storms that brewed up. The wind is blowing in his hair. The fishermen are there casting the nets. And he says, hey, come follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. What did they do? They didn't think about it. They didn't say, well, let me finish this fishing up here with a real fishing that I'm doing. Let me go to seminary. Let me get in this EE class. Let me get the three circles down, which are all great things. And we need to do those things to equip ourselves. But they dropped their nets and they followed him. So I'm encouraging you, if you're not doing that already, and many of you are, let's drop our nets. Let's drop the things that we think are priorities. And I'm speaking to myself. And let's follow the Lord. And if you're following the Lord in the Word, thank you for the praise team, guys. Y'all are awesome. Thank you, sister. If we're following the Lord is going to compel us to be fishing for men, women, boys, and girls. And the number one thing I want you to know today is that God wants to use you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1. Let's flip over there and see who God wants to use. The Word of God tells us, and then we'll give some examples. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. Bible says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, 1 Corinthians 1, 26, not many mighty, not many noble are called, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Who has God chosen? God has chosen the weak things, the base things, the foolishness of preaching, the foolishness of sharing the gospel. What I can talk somebody into, somebody else can talk them out of. But what the Spirit of God puts on them, nothing can change and nothing can take it away. So I want you to believe this morning, if you don't already believe that, that God wants to use you. I tell young people when I'm speaking in schools, Josiah became the king of Israel as an 8 or 9 year old boy because the lineages was passed down to the males and he became the king. Now, obviously he had advisors. Obviously he had people speaking into his life. And then I joke with him, not really, and don't be offended by this, but I say that might not be a bad idea today to have an 8 or 9 year old president. Just kidding. I can't tell you how to vote. But last time I looked at the Word of God, the Bible said that abortion was murder, was sin against God. The last time I looked at the Word, the Bible said that a man was to marry a woman and a woman was to marry a man. Now, I'm not going to beat those people over the head. There's a man, I hope he's watching, but last time I gave him his example, I didn't give his name. I didn't say anything about him. He jumped on me, David, when I got back to Asheville. I didn't know the guy'd be watching. He's in that other lifestyle, and he was watching the video. And he said, you were referring to me in that. I said, yeah, I didn't mention your name. I didn't say where you're from. I love you, brother. But he is of the alternate lifestyle, if you want to call it. He's gay. He's a homosexual. And I meet with him about once a week in downtown Asheville. Brother Steve was there when he brought 10. He calls y'all the 10 disciples. He said, are you going to see the disciples when you go over there? I said, yeah, I'll probably see the leader. And he's praying for you today. And so this gentleman is about 62 years old. He's a world-renowned poet. He can quote poetry just like that. And he's a Jew. And I've been witnessing to him. I've been encouraging him. We don't beat those people over the head. Only by the grace of God could some of us have made some decisions, been influenced by our parents, been influenced by people in our lives, and get confused. So we got to help him in love get back on the right track. He's not watching this morning, but Alan, if you're watching, buddy, I love you, and we love you, and people are praying for you. Give up, man. You got too many Christians around you, all right? So you got to believe that God wants to use you, Josiah. Then we look a little bit older, a teenager, David, a shepherd boy. And I say, if I could find a 9 foot C-E-N-T-E-R who was a S-I-N-N-E-R who got converted to Jesus, Brother Steve, we would never lose a game. David had to go against a 9 foot giant, a shepherd boy, and God used him to slay a giant. So Josephus, David. And I like to use a example that's close to home. When God got a hold of my life in college at UNC Asheville, I came to the Lord as a 9-year-old boy, got really into basketball. Pistol Pete was my hero. Got to be in New Orleans three weekends ago at the Final Four. Got to go down Bourbon Street and share the gospel with a church there where Pistol Pete used to walk down the streets. If you know Pistol Pete, he was a Caucasian player in the 70s that was doing things with the ball that Stephen Curry is doing today. And I love to give this example about Pistol Pete. Phil got to meet him at Bellevue years ago, but Pete had everything the world said would make you happy. He used to walk around with $6,000 or $8,000 in his pocket in the 70s, a lot of money. He said he could fly to Europe anytime he wanted to. And Pete went to a Campus Crusade for Christ, 18 years of age, at Colorado Springs, Colorado, with his best friend. And they drove all the way from Clemson, South Carolina, not far down the road from where we were born. And he said he partied all the way out there as an 18-year-old. And he got there on a Thursday, and he said, "I'm ready to give my ball handling demonstration. When do I give it?" And Bill Bright, who is the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, one of his helpers, said, "Well, Pete, you're performing on Saturday. This was Thursday." And Pete said, "I looked around, and all these young people were sitting around holding hands and raising their hands and praising Jesus." And he said, "I told my buddy, man, let's get out of here. What have I got myself into here?" Well, he stayed around for 3 days. And then he did his ball handling exhibition before the main speaker. The main speaker gave the gospel. And Pete's buddy got up to go forward. And Pete tried to grab him. And his buddy pushed him away. And Pete said, "Man, what are you doing? Sit down. You don't believe this stuff." And his buddy pulled away from him, went forward and gave his life to Christ. And Pete said he ran in the wilderness the next 20, 30 years. He tried everything. His daddy told him, "If you can win an NBA championship, you can sit by the pool, twinkle your toes in the pool, and live happily ever after." Well, it doesn't work like that, does it? And 4 years before Pete died, he was going to drive his car off the bridge in Louisiana. And God was dealing with him. People were praying for him like you're praying for people. Got down beside his bed, and he said the Lord spoke to him audibly. "I've never heard that, but God can do what he wants to." And he woke his wife up, Jackie, and he said, "Jackie, did you hear? Did you hear what God said to me?" He said, "Lift thine own heart, Pete. Give your life to me." She said, "Pete, I didn't hear nothing." She rolled over. She had heard everything from Pete. But after that, you couldn't talk to Pete for 30 seconds without he was asking you what Jesus was doing in your life. So that's kind of my protege. That's my hero. I never got to meet him, but I got to minister to his boys and work some of his single-parent basketball camps with Focus on the Family. But he was going down Bourbon Street, and there was a little boy there, shining shoes, Brother Floyd. And Pete had his nice outfit on, his dress shoes, and he sat down there, and he let the little boy shine his shoes. 70s now. Pete pulled out three $100 bills and gave them to that little boy. And that little boy said, "Son, sir, you think you'd be coming back this way again tomorrow?" So I thought about that when I was on Bourbon Street sharing the gospel. And Pete wasn't sharing the gospel then, but I'm sure Pete went down there after he came to know the Lord. But an illustration that's close to home is my dad. My dad provided for me like a lot of your dads, and then some of you might not have had dads. We got players on Crossfire that if their dad walked in the room, 35-year-old African-American young man, or can be a Caucasian young man that doesn't know their dad. But guess what? Jesus has become a father to the fatherless. Jesus has become a mentor to them. He's brought people into their life to mentor them like you all are doing and some of you are doing. But my dad was a good father. He was a Christian man. He wasn't a soul winner, but he took me to church. And when God got a hold of me and taught me by his grace to be a soul winner, my dad became a soul winner. Well, I came out of a Tennessee football game, Dr. Sexton, one night, and my mama called me probably 11 or 12 years ago. She said, "Your dad is trying to talk to me, but nothing's coming out. And now he's laying on the bed." I said, "Mom, call the ambulance." So I prayed all the way from Knoxville to Asheville. "God, don't let my daddy die. God, please don't let my daddy die." Not that he wasn't saved, but that's a prayer we pray for our loved ones. And I know some of you prayed that prayer and your loved one passed. But they wouldn't come back now if you begged them. No more pain, no more suffering, no more hard times. They probably would say, "It's real. Get out there and get to fishing. It's real." So my dad didn't die, but he got paralyzed on the right side. And they had to put a feeding tube in, Dr. Sexton. And they used to pour that solution in there, Dave, and he'd go down through that tube. And he'd say, "Son, here comes my ribeye." And I never heard him complain. And I used to go sit with him, and I'd say, "Dad, I'm not going to preach this weekend. I'm going to stay here with you." He'd say, "Son, you go, and I'll pray." Thank God for y'all that are praying on that prayer line. Thank God for you. That's why the doors are opening, because of prayer, sowing the prayer. So Daddy was in the nursing home. We couldn't keep him at home. He was a big man. And I know some of you have the fear. When I get old, I'm going to get stuck in a nursing home. Well, I pray not, but God will bring somebody to encourage you. I'm not married, no kids, so I really got to worry about that, right? But anyway, my dad, we didn't stick him in a nursing home. My mom was there from sunup to sundown taking care of him. And he couldn't get out of the bed. His voice got slurry sometimes, and then he had to begin to wear diapers. And I tell young people and children sometimes, mom and dad changed your diapers. If mom and dad live long enough, you may be changing their diapers. And my dad had to wear diapers, and three CNAs that came in to change his dirty diapers, he led them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's my excuse? What's your excuse? Have you been fishing lately? Have you been fishing for men, women, boys, and girls? So we got to believe that God wants to use us. There's five lies, though, that's already going through our mind. Because when I heard messages like this, when I wasn't sharing the gospel, the enemy is going to start throwing those fiery darts. He still throws them now. Do you get nervous when you share, Randy? Absolutely. If you don't get nervous, then something's not right. You're not depending upon the Lord. And then the Spirit kicks in, and God gives you confidence. But number one, the lie the enemy's going to tell us that you can't share the gospel is, I don't know the Bible like Dr. Billy Graham, or I don't know the Bible like Dr. Rogers or Dr. Gaines or whoever your pastor is. Well, guess what, y'all? We can learn the Bible. If I was coming back next Tuesday, and I'll be in Washington, D.C. next Tuesday, been invited, David, I haven't even told you yet, to be at the Capitol Hill with the Capitol Hill in the background and be a part of a prayer group there for next Tuesday, praying over our nation and this city. And you don't have to be at Capitol Hill. You can be right back there in that living room or wherever you are praying. Our prayers go, but we go where God calls us to go. But number one lie the enemy tells us is, I don't know the scripture. Well, we can learn the scripture. If I said, I'm going to come back next Tuesday morning, and if you've memorized the Roman road, many of you know that, but if you're watching online or if you don't, what's the Roman road, Randy? Well, it's not a street out here off of Germantown. It's Romans 3:23. If you don't know this verse, write the reference down. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 10:9-10, paraphrasing, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If we memorize those four verses, hide them in our heart, God will bring them to us when we need them. And if I said, if you come back, if you don't know those verses next Tuesday, and I'm going to give you a $100 bill, Brother David, there would be some scripture memory going on this week. And I share that in the Christian schools. We would be memorizing scriptures. What would our motivation be? Dinero, money. What should our motivation be? If there was a screen here, and there probably is somewhere, you could put one up, and we wrote all our sins on there, and you wrote all your sins on there. Man, we would want to crawl under this carpet or run out this back door. But they have been cleaned as white as snow. What we did yesterday, if you've confessed it, has been cleaned as white as snow. That is motivation enough, y'all, to share the gospel. The enemy's going to tell us, number one, you can't learn the scripture. You can learn the scripture. Number two lie the enemy's going to tell you, Brother Randy, if I make a commitment this morning to be a soul winner, to be a seed planter, to be a fisher, men, women, boys, and girls, I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be attacked possibly. Well, guess what? If you share the gospel enough, you will. And if you're sharing the gospel here in the Mid-South and Memphis, even in the Bible Belt, you're still going to be persecuted. And you're going to be made fun and you're going to be laughed at. What time did you say, Dave, again?
6:40.
Good. Awesome. 7:40. It's already past 6:40. 7:40. So I was in Jerusalem. Brother Al wasn't there this particular time, but I appreciate your prayers for Brother Al. Get to team with him and go into schools there. But I was in Jerusalem one time, and the pastor I had, as I mentioned to you, Dr. Billy Klein, was a soul winner. He probably made 30 trips to Israel. And he told me, young in ministry, he said, Randy, if you can go to Israel when you're young, go. Don't wait till you're 75 or 80 years old. It's like a year of seminary. Well, 23 times, I'm working on my fourth doctorate, Roselle, all right? So I was there in Benihuda Street in Jerusalem. That's where the young Jews hang out. That's where the atheist Jews hang out. That's where the Hasidic Jews hang out, with the curls and, you know, Brother Steve, with the black hat, with the black outfit. So I'm spinning the ball there on the streets, using the ball to draw a crowd in to get their attention. Then when we get their attention, we put the ball down. We get the word of God out. So I was giving a testimony there, and some young people had gathered around and they were listening. And he had given them our crossfire card that has different pictures on it that gets their attention. On the back is the gospel. Then we had some Hebrew tracts in their language, and I was passing them out to them. They were really engaged. They were listening. What I didn't see was this Hasidic Jew got on his telephone. And in about 5 minutes, there were 50 Hasidic Jews around me, Brother Floyd, quoting and speaking broken English and Hebrew. And the guy beside of me, I said, "What are they saying?" He said, "They're saying they hate you and they hate Jesus too." I said, "Okay." So there's a little guy beside of me from a church in the middle of North Carolina. He's about 75 at the time. He had his hand chopped off in a sawmill when he was about 13 years of age. He's probably about 5'6", but he was full of the Lord and a prayer warrior. So when they started that, a guy steps out of the crowd. And I needed you there, Roselle, for some of that MMA stuff you learned the other night. He steps out of the crowd, and I thought he was just going to dialogue with me. And he said, "Go back to America and preach to those pagans in America." Well, I had my ball, and I dropped down on one knee, and I said, "Basketball used to be my God, but now Yeshua, Jesus, is my God." And he said, "Well, that's well and fine. You bring your people over here because we want your money, but you leave your Jesus at home." Another guy steps out of the crowd. He's about right there. I thought he was just going to dialogue with me. He spits in my face. So now I got spit rolling down my face. And Frank's right here. It's prayer warrior like some of y'all. And I said, "Frank, go in the crowd." There was about eight of us there. Jamie was the smart one, my ministry partner. He was back at the hotel with 40 people resting after a long day of walking in Jesus' footsteps. But I said, "Get your wife and the others, put them in a taxi cab, go back to the hotel. I'll be okay." He rose up. He said, "Randy, I'm not going anywhere." He said, "You're willing to share the gospel here. I'm right here praying with you." Well, Brother Dave, he didn't know I was through sharing. I was looking for a way of escape. But he prayed. And so I said, "We need to get back up the street, buddy, because it was dark down here and the lights were up this way, Brother Alvin." So there was an Israeli policeman that was standing right over there, but he turned his back on the whole thing like this. And they were calling us Gentile pigs. I guess he said, "I'm going to let these folks have a little fun with this American." So we started to walk back up the street. For those of you that know me, I have it on under here today, but I've got a scripture sweatshirt or t-shirt I wear that says, "Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." Well, now they had to look at the back of that shirt as I'm going up the street, and they were literally trying to kick me in the back. And I got a whole new revelation of what Paul said about an angry mob on these people's faces. So we walk up in front of this restaurant, and there's a piece of lamb hanging there, cooked. They're making sandwiches, though, as you've been to Israel. And the guy behind it, I said, "Sir, can you call the police?" He said, "Yes, but you come with me." And I noticed two guys stand there, Brother Steve, that had yarmulkes on, which I knew they were Jewish. And they turned on that mob and they said, "They're doing a good thing. They're sharing the gospel. You leave these guys alone," which shocked me. With yarmulkes, Jewish. So I started up the steps of the restaurant to go up in the attic. And I looked back down, and one of those guys with the yarmulkes on had one of the Hasidic guys down on the ground over top of him. Now, don't witness like that, all right? If it gets to that point, walk away, all right? I've been in some arguments, and I probably shouldn't have, but we got to give them the word, we got to give them love, and then we got to walk away. So I sit down on a box up in the attic of this restaurant, probably 18 years ago, and I had this thought: my daddy is going to see me on World News tonight. So Frank says this. He said, "Randy, now I'm going to go out and get my wife and the others." I said, "Frank, no, we're safe now. The guy's calling the police. We're good. Let's stay here." He said, "Man, they're not after me. They're after you." He went right through the crowd, got the others, put them in a taxi cab, sent them back to the hotel. This is where it gets good. He's coming back, Brother Steve, to where I am in the attic. And the two Jewish guys with yarmulkes on stopped him. And they said, "We're Messianic Jews. And God had us here to help you. Well, I don't know if they were or not, Brother Steve. The Bible says that we entertain angels. So whether they were angels or whether they were Messianic Jews, I had more of a peace when he came up there and shared with me. So the Israeli police show up in about 5 minutes. I hear the sirens out there in front of the restaurant. They come up to where I'm. The young man, what's going on here? I said, sir, I'm a missionary from America. I mentioned Jesus and all havoc broke loose. You stay right here. We're going to take you out of here. Yes, sir. I'm not going anywhere. So then they go to the car. They come back. And you see the movie Left Behind back in the days when the people are screaming at the Christians? That's what it felt like that day. Now, that was 18 years ago. So we got in the squad car. We're going across Jerusalem with the sirens on. The policeman looks at me in the back seat and he says, before he did that, though, I found out later that the Israeli policeman and the Hasidic folks don't get along. So when we got in the police car, he cut the wheels at the Hasidic guys, and all of them, about 40 of them, jumped out of the way like that. And he'd probably get in trouble for that today. But we're going across Jerusalem with the sirens on. And he looks at me in the back seat and he says, young man, have a good stay in Jerusalem. I said, yes, sir, we're going to Galilee tomorrow. Thank you for saving my life. And I was feeling kind of bad, y'all, because you guys have probably been in situations maybe where the enemy puts that false guilt on you. And I was going into the hotel and I said, I'm going to apologize to these people because I would have never tried to put them in danger. And I started to apologize. And you know what they said? They said, stop, Randy. They said, we don't even share the gospel in America. We live in the Bible Belt. We don't even share the gospel in our neighborhood. We've already repented and asked God to give us the strength to go home and share the gospel. I used to say, we're never going to face that kind of persecution in America. But it's here, friends. It's here. You say, well, Randy, you trying to get us to be martyrs? Nope. But let's look at one, Stephen. Probably that same area I was at. I don't know how, why I got away. Stephen didn't get away. He took the stones. I'm asking myself the same question. Are you willing to take the stones? If the authorities came in here and lined us up, like a story I heard when I was in Russia, of communists came into this church and took over. They put a picture of Jesus on the wall and they told the church people, you spit in the face of that picture or we're going to take you in. Well, unfortunately, a couple of the leaders of the church were scared to death. They spit in the face. Little girl, 9 years old, pastor told me this in Russia. She took the hem of her dress. She went up to the picture and wiped the spittum off of Jesus's face and said, that's my Lord and Savior. I can't spit in his face. Story goes, the communist guys dropped their guns and said, that's the kind of faith that you need to be a good communist. Have you been fishing lately? Have I been fishing lately for men, women, boys and girls? Number one, the enemy's going to tell you can't do it. He's going to tell you don't know scripture. Number two, the enemy's going to tell you you're going to be persecuted. Guess what? Stephen took the stones. And guess who was holding the clothes of those that were throwing the rocks? A guy named Saul, who came on the road to Damascus, came to know Jesus, and then he wrote almost half the New Testament. Don't you know that Stephen is still getting rewards today? If we could pull the veil back and see the rewards that Stephen is getting. Now, we're not doing it for rewards, y'all. But I tell athletes all the time, there's going to be a stat sheet in heaven. There's going to be a Bema judgment. And I pray I haven't blown all my rewards down here, David, giving ministry reports. But in heaven, there's going to be a stat sheet. And it's not going to be whether we get into heaven or not. We're getting into heaven just by the blood of Jesus. For by grace you're saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there's going to be a stat sheet, a beam of judgment in heaven. And we're going to give an account for what we did with our time, our talents, and our abilities. And it's not going to be like if the Grizz win tonight, somebody's going to beat their chest and say, look at me, look what I did. Or whoever wins the NBA championship, they're going to get the cigars out. They're going to pop the champagne. They're going to say, look at me, look at me. No. It's going to be to take those rewards, friends, and to lay them at Jesus' feet. And thank Him.
Amen.
And thank Him
for
what He's allowed us to do through Him. Third lie the enemy is going to tell us is, if I begin to share my faith, Brother Randy, the enemy and his lying demons are going to get after me. Guess what? They will. The artilleries of hell, whether you realize it or not, are pointed at these two men right here. Because that prayer and your pastor and those on the front lines, the devil doesn't want that to go forth. And he's going to do everything he can through people talking, through people backbiting, through people whatever, kicking things over when you're preaching. He's going to do anything he can to disturb us from the Word of God. So if you begin to share your faith, get ready. The warfare is coming. Get ready. Some of your own teammates are going to get on your back and criticize you. But guess what? They did the same to the disciples. They did the same to Jesus. What did the disciples do? What did Peter do? You're looking at a Peter. Insert foot, take out foot. Peter, not bragging about it. God help me. We all have that problem sometimes. But Peter said, I don't even know him. Cussed and said, I don't even know him. Cock crowed. The Lord reminded him, convicted him. And then the Lord said, on this rock, I will build my church. God wants to use us. And I want you to believe that today. God wants you to be a seed planter, a soul winner, a fisher of men, women, boys, and girls. Yes, you will be persecuted. It's okay. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. I pray I'm willing to stand if the authorities come in and try to take us out. We don't know what we'll do, but I'm praying for that kind of faith because the rewards are going to be great for that. And three, yes, the enemy's going to come at us, but guess what? Ephesians 6:10-18, we got the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sandals of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, to stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. Those warfares are going to come, y'all. And we can all think about them, but we can all think about the grace that comes too and the victories that we've experienced. And I try to remind myself those testimonies, those remembrances, those ministry reports of what God has done when we get down, when the enemy gets us depressed, when he's throwing his fiery darts at us. Fourth lie, the enemy is going to tell you if you go to a great church, which most of you do, hey, we pay the preacher well, and it's his job to get out there and share the gospel. Well, that's true. It's his job as a shepherd to disciple you all to share the gospel and me and to also lead the way and do it. So it's not just the pastor's job, and you all know this. I'm preaching to the choir. It's our job. But we can encourage others that aren't doing that by our example and our love and our prayers to be fishing for men, women, boys, and girls. Then the fifth lie, the enemy is going to tell us, Brother Randy, you're single, you don't have a family, you got plenty of time. Had somebody tell me this morning, I got a day job. I said, I got a day and a night job. We got to share the gospel. We got to go where God leads us to go. Whether you got a day job, a night job, an executive job, you can't bust into work, I realize, as a CEO, unless you own the company, and say, okay, gather around, I'm going to share the gospel. I know some men like that. One sitting right back here. Henry took me to his business one day. His car dealership. He wasn't worried about what those people said. He said, Randy, will you spin the ball and share the gospel in the showroom? I said, let's do it, buddy. Let's go. We went over there. He had prayed. He's been praying for those people. Henry marched me around through the parts department, through the service department. He said, can you spin the ball and walk? I said, let's go. So we're walking, spinning the ball. He's inviting people out. And I don't know how many that day, Henry, 7 or 8 in the showroom. Some of them were customers. Some were guys Henry had been praying for a long time, lifted their hand and said they were repenting and putting their faith in Christ. Were they real? We don't know for sure. We pray they were. We try to find them a Bible-believing church to get in. We try to get them discipled. But friends, that's not our job. It's whether they receive Christ or not. Our job is to sow the seed. Then if they come to Christ, we want to do all we can. But those that don't share, y'all, they're on our backs all the time saying, who are you discipling? Friends, I'm for discipleship. My best friend runs Downline, which is a discipleship ministry, and I want discipleship. But don't not share the gospel because we're not going to be able to necessarily be with them every day. God's got warriors out there everywhere. And I'm not taking away from discipleship because we need to do that. And not trying to put Henry on the spot, but he's doing that. 4 African Americans from the Shelby Farms that you guys go out there and witness. I saw it on video. Nobody saw me. I was watching it on video, and I was on the prayer line, bringing them into his house, feeding them, sharing them. They didn't get saved at Shelby Farms. They got saved on the second visit in his house right there. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. You can use your platform that you have to share the gospel, whether you're at Walmart or whether you're on your own company. God will give you open doors to share the gospel if we pray for them. So this morning, hopefully, you have believed that God wants to use you from the Word of God. Come follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. It wasn't if you want to be fishers of men. It wasn't going to all the world if you want to preach the gospel and disciple. It's a command, y'all. It's a mandate. I'm speaking to myself. If we're not doing it, we're in sin. If that offends you, I'm sorry. It's in the Word of God. It's a holy mandate from God that we're to be sharing the gospel. Last thing this morning, I want to challenge each and every one of you to make a commitment this morning to be a seed planter, to be a soul winner, to be a fisher of men, women, boys, and girls. Last story. Q, good buddy of mine, you guys know, Quentin Lytle, downline. He was trained at Bellevue. He was the first African-American guy that Dr. Rogers ever ordained. And he was an EE, and Quentin was a soul winner. And he had a businessman here in Memphis that was pretty well known that was in the class as well. And it was coming down the wire, and Q had been praying, I want my buddy to share here. I want him to share. He's learned the techniques. I want him to share. And so they went out that night, and lo and behold, the businessman said, Q, I want to share tonight. Q, under his breath, said, praise the Lord. I'm praying for you, buddy. You share. And David, he said, the guy, they were in somebody's house, and the guy took Romans 3:23. He had it hooked into Romans 6:23. He was all confused. He had Romans 10:9 and 10 hooked into Romans 5:8. And Q's sitting there thinking, uh-oh, I got to interject something here. I got to save this deal. And it got to the guy that they were sharing with. And the businessman asked him, sir, would you like to receive Jesus? And with tears running down his face, the guy said, I want to receive Jesus. Friends, you can't mess it up. The Word of God will not return void. You say, Randy, man, you're too out there. You're going to scare them away. You can't scare them away. They're already away, y'all. Now, we can beat them over the head. And we can do some damage by screaming at them and saying, you're going to hell if you don't repent. Now, that may work on some hard heads like David and I, but it does, you're going to scare people away that way. We don't change the message. It's the truth, but we do it in love and in mercy. And sometimes you're going to do it in love and mercy, and they're going to still say that you're overdoing it. Y'all, John the Baptist, camel's hair, honey dripping from his beard, they'd have had him in the insane asylum today. The disciples go to jail and then come right back to the spot where they were at and start preaching again. God, give me that kind of faith. God, give me that kind of boldness. God wants to use us. Still got 6 minutes here. I usually go over. Dave's trained me well. Thank you, Coach. So story, yep, a guy in Asheville, North Carolina, Pastor Klein was a soul winner, pastor like some of you pastors, and he led this guy to the Lord at 68 years of age. And he said, brother, I want you to come next Tuesday. We're going out, and I want to teach you how to share your faith. Yes, sir, I'm going to be there. He was on fire for the Lord. A couple weeks went by, and Pastor Klein didn't see him, but he passed him in the hallway. He said, brother, I thought you were going to come on Tuesday nights. He said, yes, Pastor, I've been in the parking lot with my knees clanging together in the car. I've been too scared to get out of the car. He said, just come go with me. You just pray and you learn as God gives me wisdom to share. You learn from me. Well, he went with Pastor Klein a few times and he caught the fever. Those of you that fish for fish, you hook that big bass. The Lord allows you to lead somebody to Christ. You got the fever, right, Brother Henry? And then he began to go with him and he began to lead people to Christ. By the time he died at 82 years of age, glory to God, he had led over 100 people to Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to use us, friends, if he can get us out of the way. Sometimes he has to break us down, many times with me, and get all the pride out of our lives so he can fill us back up with him. He didn't go to the Jerusalem. He didn't go to D.C. Yes, they need to share Christ too. He went to the fisherman, the common man, like you and I, the everyday man. God wants to use us, friends, to be fishers of men, women, boys, and girls. Y'all are awesome. We're going to close in prayer. And if you're convicted, that's good because I'm convicted too. And I'm going to ask you to make a commitment today to be a seed planter, to be a soul winner. Dave and Henry didn't tell me to say this, but just go to Shelby Farms one Sunday afternoon and go out with some of these people that know how to share, and you pray and you watch, and then you'll begin to share in the restaurants. You begin to share in the gas stations. You begin to share in your neighborhood. We got to learn. I teach kids how to shoot the basketball. Four basics: balance, elbow, eyes, follow through. Then you do it about a million times. Learn the Roman road. Write your testimony down 2 or 3 minutes. Get some gospel tracts. Put a gospel tract in your pocket. Don't jam it into somebody's face. Say, read this, you're going to hell. Try to put a smile on your face, like we've been sucking on pickles, and say, hey, this message changed my life. Some of them are going to accept. Some of them are going to reject. Some of them are going to cuss you out like a guy didn't do yesterday, but he wanted to. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to laugh at you. But some of them are going to, God's preparing those that need to hear the word. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I appreciate you being soul winners. I appreciate you being prayer warriors. But let's pray. Father God, thank you for Awaken Memphis. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. It's an encouragement to me, Lord. I get weary in well-doing. I get weary in ministry. But being here with this praise team today, being with David and Henry and Phil and Dr. Sexton and Christy Lynn and these folks that I've known over the years, Lord, it's an encouragement to be here. And Lord, I've tried to open up your word and share some scriptures and some stories that would encourage us to be fishers of men, women, boys, and girls. And Lord, right now, I pray if there's anybody watching or anybody on this, in this room right now, Lord, they might say like I've had to, I haven't been fishing. I've been committing high treason against my Savior. But today, Lord, I want to repent. I want to confess it to you. Just tell him in your own words, in your heart, Lord, I love you. You know I love you, Lord. Just tell him, Lord, give me holy boldness. Proverbs says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs says he that winneth souls is wise. And God, we want to be wise. So make us wise, Lord. Give us wisdom. Lord, help us not to do it the wrong way. I've done it many times. I pray you give us compassion. I pray you give us mercy. God, break our hearts for souls. God, what I heard last night in California, that abortion is going to be possibility of them talking about it being legal 20 days after the birth of a child. God, where have we come in America? God, we've come in America because we haven't stood on the word, because we and me as Christians, we haven't shared our faith. We haven't represented you in the highways and the byways. God, help us to do that. Lord, help us today to make a commitment, each one of us, to be a fisher of men, women, boys, and girls. Lord, I make that commitment to you right now, fresh and anew. And I pray, God, as we go out today, God, the people we're going to encounter, I pray you would go before them, Lord, and you'd pull down the lies they've been believing. That's why they don't believe. They've been believing lies. Lord, I pray you pull the strongholds down that they've been believing. I pray you prepare the hearts. Give us the courage to share. And God, we're going to leave the results in your hands. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for what you're going to do. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you.
I'd encourage everyone here to get one of Randy's newsletters, contact information. I don't know of more evangelistic ministry than what Randy Shepherd's doing with Crossfire, and it's been a very great example over the years to many of us here. This DVD right here, three Jesus films on DVD. We've got 5,500 of these coming in for this zip code, 38139. Dr. Sexton has already agreed to distribute 100 in his neighborhood about 2 miles from here. And hopefully we'll have these here by the National Day of Prayer on May the 5th, that Thursday, Cinco de Mayo Day, and we're going to hand these out at the park. And we've already got 10 churches that have committed to be out at Shelby Farms on that day. We're going to have this incredible praise team close this out during sunset, the last hour of the day, with Paul and Alvin and Christy Lynn. And we're going to have Roselle up there, and we've got Christy's going to open us up, I think, with Eudora Baptist Church. I've got these churches already committed. Eureka True Vine with Frank Tappan, Journey Church with Pastor Daniel here, Memphis Tabernacle with Dave and Tiffany Durham's going to come out. They did last year when the wind came and blew the speakers over. Central Church is committed to come out. Grace Chapel, where the Nappers attend, and Dave Davenport, Grace Chapel, Carrieville, Grace Memphis, Ben Wilkins, Waypoint with Conley Herndon is going to come out and lead worship, who helps us on the evening. Leewood Baptist East, where Carter Thrillkill is going to bring the trumpet out and blow that like a shofar, and Brett Hottishaw. This right here is going to be an exciting day. It's an opportunity to pray. It's not a day to come. We're not having a picnic out there, okay? Don't bring food. Bring water. We're not coming out there to fellowship. We're going out there to pray, to praise, and to evangelize. It was incredible what happened last year. We just brought water. We handed water out. With it being a national holiday for Cinco de Mayo for the Hispanic community, Henry's already ordered another 500 Spanish Bibles, New Testaments to give out there. There was a whole family of about 8 or 10. I think Janet had to leave, but she led basically an entire family of about 12 people to Christ. Janet, come up here real quick, share that story. And then there was two Hindu people she actually led to Christ, I believe. And then the pastor from Chicago that had been here 30 years contacted me last night after prayer to help disciple them. Share real quick, and then Henry will come up.
Okay. It's an honor to go out to Shelby Farms. Kenneth and I was there yesterday. We go when we can. There was a large family, a large Spanish family, three couples, husbands and wives with children and babies and strollers. And one of the teenage boys was our interpreter. It took about 20, 25 minutes to share the gospel. But when we asked them if they wanted to pray, they were shaking their heads. And one of the men didn't know English. Well, both of the adult men didn't know English. But anyway, so we prayed, and they believed and confessed that they were sinners, and they believed that Jesus, you know, the prayer. And so they repented and asked Christ to come into their heart. We asked that the Spirit would lead and all that. So when we were done praying, the countenance and the glow on their face, and all of a sudden one of the men spoke English. I said, I thought you didn't know English. But they were so happy, it just happened to come out. Then there were two Indian men, just brand new to the country, one 4 months and the other one since January, and they were Hindus. And so I was able to share with them. I said, oh, okay, so your foundation is the Torah, the first Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they said yes. They were real happy that I knew something about Hinduism, and that's all I knew. But I was able to share with them that that is the foundation of all religions, except there's only one God, and all religions morphed off of that one foundation. And they were mesmerized, so they allowed me to take their number, which we gave to Pastor Bob and Wilson. And Pastor Bob had just been ministering to them that week on the river in Memphis. And so that was really cool. And then there, pardon?
He was an Indian too.
Yeah, Pastor Bob's an Indian, and he ministers on Mud Island, and he's outside the, he was from Bellevue. He ministers outside the walls now of the church. And then there were a couple of girls, two that gave their life to Christ. But I just want to repeat what Randy said. We sow the seed. God is the one that the Holy Spirit draws these people to themselves. We sow the seed. We get the numbers. We try to plug them in. We disciple when we can. But our part is to sow the seed, to share the gospel. And so thank you to you and Henry for making that opportunity for us.
Well, if you haven't gotten convicted about engaging lostness today, there's nothing I'm going to say, because Randy, you said it so well. Thank you. Do you want a real-life example that came right out of the Bible? You ever heard of a guy named Cornelius? You remember what happened to Cornelius and his family? Cornelius and his family came to Jesus. Have you ever seen that happen? You could have seen it happen last Sunday at Shelby Farms. The jailer and his family came to Jesus. So you want to see Jesus in a real and unbelievable way? Then follow the command of Christ. It was right one of the last things he said before he left. I have all authority. Go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them all the things I have commanded, and lo, I am with you. You don't need anything else. Jesus is with us. Father, thank you so much that you're with us. Thank you so much that you've given us the opportunity to be your ambassador. Thank you that you've given us this ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for the word this morning. Father, help us to leave this place with that conviction that we have now, that we might engage the people that you have appointed for us to engage. And Father, we'll leave the results to you in your glory, in your kingdom, in your Son, till he returns. In Jesus' name, amen.